Well, glory. Hey, what a great day to serve the Lord. Amen. God is a great, great God, and I am excited about new things in this new year. And my message title this morning is The War Within Us. How many of you are battling stuff inside of you? I mean, there's just things in our life that, man, I'll tell you what, they just keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming. I want you to know this morning, right off the bat, that the enemy is relentless. Amen? He doesn't just knock you down and then walk off. He knocks you down and then he puts the boots to you. And if you try and get back up, he's right there. But I want you to know today that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. And there is a war within each one of us, but we win the war. Amen? We win the war. If you're coming tonight, I'll give you a little precursor on tonight. Tonight, I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to be talking about defeating the enemies of spiritual advancement. Anybody feel like they're stuck in a rut? Tonight's your night. Amen? Listen, a rut, is a grave with both ends kicked out of it. Yeah. It's true. I tell you what, I feel within me such a growing desire to help each one of us get to where God wants us to be. And it ain't going to be an easy journey. I'll just tell you that right up front. Church, it's not going to be easy. It's just not going to be easy. Most of us have battled with the war within us for a long time. The Scripture declares that there's an ongoing battle between our flesh and our spirit. And the reality is, my job this morning, my desire this morning is, I hope to give you some help with the struggle that is within you. Amen? I mean, when you go to the doctor, you hope to come away from that place with at least some kind of hope. Amen? And I want you to realize this morning that when we come to church, it's great to sing songs and to worship together and to pray together. But, man, I want to leave this place being touched by God. Amen. I think Tammy said it this morning that we're a Pentecostal church. And I mean, I feel like God is calling us back to our Pentecostal roots more now than ever before in my life. And I don't long for the good old days. I do not long for the good old days. The good old days had their time. I long for the presence of God here and now in the present right now. That's what I want to have happen. Amen. You can go ahead and worship the Lord. That's fine. I want to turn in the Old Testament this morning to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. When you find it, stand with me and we'll read God's Word together. It's not going to take us very long. Three verses. Chapter 3, verse 7, 8, and 9. Want to thank everybody that's joining us this morning by way of the internet. Also want to thank you for your giving. It's amazing to see what is being given online through our Facebook and our website to this ministry. I'm grateful for that, so thank you very much. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their forehead. Like an adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Father, I pray this morning that you can cause this word to come out of me and into your people in the way that you and I desire for that to happen. Now, Lord, I just need your anointing today to preach your word. Your people need your anointing today to receive your word. So, Father, we just commit it all unto you right now and give you the glory in advance for any good that comes from this today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Belief in God is not a crutch for those too weak to stand on their own. Amen? Belief in God is not some crutch for those too weak to stand on their own. God makes you and I, as His followers, strong enough to stand against anything or anyone, including those who hate what is right. You see, just as God gave Ezekiel a tough faith, and that's what this passage is making reference to, is Ezekiel and God are having this conversation, and God says, listen, the faith that I'm giving you is as hard as the hardest rock. And He wants to give you stability, and He wants to give us perseverance, and He wants to give us insight that we will need to live up to the great tasks that He has given each one of us. On Friday night, in our study of our at our men's meeting, a phrase that was brought out in what we're studying is that God is as big as what we picture Him to be. And oftentimes, church, we picture God as a small God. We look at a problem in our life. We look at a circumstance in our life. We look at a situation in our life. And we just don't see how in the world we can get around it or get through it or get over it. But I want you to know that God is a big enough God to get you through it. If God's a big enough God to save you for eternity, He's big enough to get you through your short span that you have called life here on this earth. And so understand that. Giving yourself over to God's conditioning and let Him get your life in shape. Getting out of shape is pretty easy. Sit on the couch, watch TV, eat Fritos and corn chips and hot dogs and all that good stuff. Watch yourself blossom. Lord. But one day you wake up and you go, my, I have blossomed. And you begin to realize it's time to prune her back a little bit. And the pruning back process is never easy. It's not fun. It's a lot more fun to eat and just sit around and do whatever I'm talking about in the physical realm than it is to realize now I'm in a mess. I'm out of shape. I can't run from here to there without feeling like I'm going to die. And I've got to do something about it. And the same takes place spiritually. We sit around, we maybe listen to some worship music, we might even go so far as to have an app on our phone that pops up every morning, like I do, and it pops out a devotion, not necessarily a devotional, just a scripture for the day. And we consider that our devotion, and we've done a great thing for God because we read one verse of scripture. But if we want to grow in the Lord, if we want to take over and take control of the battle that is warring within us, we are going to have to do something different. So we have to give ourselves to God's conditioning and let Him get us in shape. If we're wise, church, we'll recognize that there truly is a war that is going on inside of us. Our flesh is at war with our spiritual desires. You want me to let me give you this as an illustration of how you can prove this to be true to yourself. make a decision and a determination in your life that I'm going to do this or that or the other thing for the Lord. I'm going to start doing a 30 minutes of devotion every morning before I do anything, and make that declaration and begin to do that and begin to watch and see how your flesh gets in the way. You'll have all kinds of things just pop up. Bam, bam. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. The phone will ring. This. Listen, at some point we've got to say, look, enough is enough. Nothing is of more importance in my life than doing what God wants me to do. Because there's a war going on inside of us, and we have everything at our disposal to win the war. Amen. Listen, our flesh is at war with our spiritual desires, and the carnal nature attempts to reject the Word of God and its renewing work because it cannot understand and it cannot adhere to it. I'm talking about our carnal nature. It seeks to defend the fortress of self-will. Amen? Listen, there's nothing as powerful in your flesh as your self-will. And you know what? Tell yourself, I'm going to start fasting. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to start fasting. Amen? At noon, your flesh will start screaming, famine! He's trying to kill me! You'll survive. I promise. It might not be easy, but it'll be good for you. But your carnal nature, your flesh, wants to defend this. Well, I'll tell you what, man, this thing is growing well. It's doing good. I got to protect it. No, you don't. No, you don't. Push away from the table. Just cut some things out. There's different kinds of fasts. There's total fast, and then there's fast where you can fast a day, fast a meal, fast certain things. In the book of Daniel, it talks about when the three Hebrew children and Daniel, they fasted. Didn't want the royalties of the palace kitchen. And at the end of their fasting time, they were much healthier. You can eat all the fruit you want. You can eat all the vegetables, the beans, nuts of different kinds. You just can't have any caffeine, which is the killer. Lord Jesus, can't have any coffee, can't have any caffeine, you can't have any sugar. I'll do the preaching, sister. Can't have any chocolate. You can't have any pecan pie, even though it's got nuts in it. Can't have any dairy. You can't have any meat. Boy, listen to the grumbling in this place. Glory to God. Can't have any bacon. Can't have any fish. Can't have any chicken. Can't have any buffalo. But you can survive. But your body's going to be screaming at you. No sugar. No sugar. You'd be surprised what has sugar in it. Almost everything. You have to read the labels. If you're going to be serious about it, you have to read the labels. But the Bible says that there are some things that only move by prayer and fasting. And if you've got things locked up in your life, things that will not budge, you butt your head against them, you fight it, you do this, you pray, you seek God, all this stuff, nothing seems to happen, try praying and fasting, see what happens. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is no subject to the law, or it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So church, we've got to get our flesh under control. Message title again, there's a war within us, and it's the war between your spirit and your flesh, and your flesh is selfish. Your flesh wants what it wants and demands to get it. Every human being has a sinful nature, every one of them. Anybody ever have to train their child to tell them no? There's a reason for that. It's called sin nature. Every human being has a sinful nature. But believers in Christ, we have access to the Holy Spirit. The reality is the Holy Spirit lives within us. In fact, Paul says in chapter 8 and verse 9, the Spirit of God lives in you. See, as believers, we are still in the flesh, but because we're born again, we also have the Spirit of God living in us, working in us, encouraging us, teaching us, instructing us, telling us, hey, you can make it. Maybe you didn't have a cheerleader in your life saying, hey, you can make it. But this morning you do. I might not be cute, I might not be skinny, but I'm here and I'm cheering you on. You can make it. Woo! I saw him do a lot of that yesterday. I won't try doing a backflip. But listen, as believers, we're still in the flesh. But because we're born again, we have the Spirit of God. Here's the question. Here's the question. I hope you're writing some of this stuff down. Because when I present it to you, my part of it's done. What you do with it after you hear it is on you. And so here's the question. The question is this. The question is, which will be in control? See, the believer's two natures often confuse us. The wisdom that's found in the book of Romans will help in managing the conflict by identifying which aspects of behavior result from the Holy Spirit's life and which result from the fleshly nature's activity. So once we understand the difference, we can navigate our new life with wisdom and with understanding. Amen? It's like raising dogs. Or really anything else. Whatever you feed the most is going to grow the most. Amen? So the first thing I want for us to look at here is the fleshly nature rejects God. So therefore, any judgment that we incur is self-induced because we have chosen to reject God and His Word. Let me say that again because it doesn't feel very good, but it's the truth. Any judgment that we incur is self-induced because we have chosen to reject God and His Word. God is working toward getting us to be the men and women of God that He has ordained before the foundations of the earth for you and I to be. I'm doing my best to try and encourage you and give you weapons and give you tools to help us to get to where God wants us to be. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. If you go to our website at harvestca.org, you will see on 23, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools in changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Let me narrow it down for you. There's no excuse for not believing in God. The heavens declare His majesty. I think it was the psalmist that said that if we don't praise God, the rocks will begin to cry out. Listen, I don't want to stand before God and try to explain to Him why a rock was crying out in my place. I mean, I might not sound the best, I might not be able to play the best, but I'm gonna make a joyful noise. That's what He said to do. I'm going to praise Him and I'm going to worship Him, so there's no excuse for not believing in God. Listen, I fail all the time in my life according to my judgment against myself under God. And so do you probably if you're honest with yourself. And the enemy would say, listen, there's no hope for you. It's just not worth it. Just give up. Listen, it is worth it. Do not give up. I saw a thing that said, fight like you're the third monkey in line getting on the ark and it's starting to rain. Are you getting it? That's a fight, brother, because I won't be on that ark. Fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp and it's starting to rain. Listen, sometimes we just got to keep fighting and fighting and fighting for the things that we want to hold true and hold dear to. And the enemy's going to keep bringing it up. Listen. Getting saved don't mean the war's over. Listen. The reality is, getting saved is really a declaration of war. When you submit your life to Jesus, you really are making a declaration of war. And the war begins between your flesh and the spirit that now wants to have control of 200 and some pounds of flesh, in my case, that you've been feeding for all these years. God has clearly revealed Himself to the world in each individual's conscience. I don't care how big a sinner that person is. I don't care how bad they say they reject God. I don't care how much they don't want to have anything to do with God. There is something within their conscience that declares that God is alive. Just looking up at the stars at night ought to convince anybody that there's a Creator. The reality is that all people know deep inside themselves that there truly is a God. And to take it a step further, this same God is not willing that any one of us should perish, but that every one of us would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's His plan. He is not willing. If you end up in hell, according to what I already said about the judgment, any judgment we incur is self-induced because we've chosen to reject His Word. So if we end up one way or another, if somebody ends up in hell and not in heaven, it's because you chose that. It's because you did not line yourself up with the Word of God. Because God's not willing, just because God's not willing that any would perish does not mean that nobody's going to perish. I can assure you of this. Hell was never intended for you and I to be in. Ever. Hell was created for the devil and his demons. Period. We've got to get to the place, church, where we no longer suppress the truth because we don't want to believe. We're probably going to have prayer at the end of this service. You might already know what you want to ask for prayer for. The question is that you have to deal with. By faith, do you believe that God is big enough to take care of whatever it is you're going to come and ask for prayer for? Believing would put you and I face to face with ourselves, with our sinfulness, and with our need to repent, and so deny the faith. Talking about the other people, they deny the facts of God's existence and play little mental games trying to rationalize away the truth. Talking about non-believers, they deny the facts of God's existence. Church, God's given us all we need in order to know and to recognize Him as our Creator, as well as realize our own sinfulness and our own inability to earn our own forgiveness. I don't care how good you are, how nice you are, how sweet you are, how much you give to the poor, how much you do this and that, give your body to be burned, all those kinds of things. It doesn't make any difference if you don't have Christ in your heart. So because each one of us have a responsibility before God to throw ourselves on His mercy, knowing that only He can provide a Savior. Only God can. He is the only one. He's the only way. He's our only hope. There's not plan B. If somebody doesn't like plan A, they're just out of luck. Because there's not plan B. If we live, how we choose to live our lives impacts our Christian witness. How we choose to live our lives impacts our Christian witness. So again, I use the word choose because you and I have a choice to make. How am I going to live my life? Am I going to live one way in church, live another way at home, live another way on the job, live another way somewhere else? No, we've got to live every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have got to be Christians. We've got to be Christians, Christ-like. We've got to do the things that Christ would do. If we live by the Spirit, we bring honor and glory to God. But if we live in the flesh, we bring reproach and blasphemy against His name. Thirdly, any hostile or disobedient tendencies toward God's Word come out of our fleshly nature. It doesn't come from the Spirit of God. It comes because your flesh is welling up. If we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we will recognize that we must walk in love. I hope you're following along with me. Sometimes I don't link things together very well, but I hope today is one of the days that I get it somewhere close to right. If we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we will recognize that we must walk in love. God commands us. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't bring it across that it's some kind of a good idea. It might be something you might want to try. The reality is He commands us to do this. So if we lack love, it is born out of our fleshly nature. In fact, Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans 13. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love the Lord your God as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So the reality then is that love is at the very heart of Christianity. Love is at the very heart. Love is the very core. Love is what motivated Christ to go to the cross. It's been said, and I believe it's true, that it wasn't the nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was His love for you and I. Believers in Christ are commanded by God to love one another despite our theological differences. Amen? In everything we do as Christians, Love is to be the main motivation and key characteristics. Every outreach ministry that is birthed out of this church, that comes out of this church, whether we're feeding poor, whether we're handing out coats, whether we're doing the trunk or treat thing over at the park, or letting kids bounce in our bounce house at Summerfest. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it to make our name be known, to get our name? A lot of people say, well, we need to get our name out there. Well, if you'll just start loving people, they'll start asking you questions. If you'll just start loving folks, they'll start asking you questions. You don't have to say, oh, by the way, I'm a Christian and I'm filled with love and I go to Harvest Christian Assembly. That's going to be a turnoff. That is not a good opening line. In everything that we do as Christians, love ought to be our main motivation. It ought to be our key characteristics. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says that we are going to be known by our love one for another. You can. So the thing that brought you here was the perfect place, our slogan, the perfect place for people that aren't. And what's kept them here is the love that they feel here. Now, that's not coming from the preacher. That's coming from the pulpit, from the pews. And that's got to be our desire. That's got to be our motive for what we're doing. Amen? See, all ministry and our very Christian witness becomes meaningless if we don't do it out of a heart and an attitude of love. Amen? In every area of our lives, God wants you and I to walk in love. Every area. Whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at work, whether you're, you know, at the post office, it doesn't matter. Somehow, many of us have gotten the idea that self-love is wrong. Sure. Amen. So again, somehow many of us have gotten the idea that self-love is wrong. But if that was the case, think about this just for a minute. If self-love is wrong, which apparently a lot of people think that it is, but if that was the case, it would be pointless to love our neighbors as ourselves. Paul explains what he means by self-love. Even if you have a low self-esteem, you probably won't willingly just let yourself go hungry, would you? Just because you're having a bad self-esteem, maybe you're having a bad hair day. Well, fine, I'm just not going to eat. You take care of your body. Some might even go so far as to exercise. We clothe ourselves reasonably well. We make sure that there's a roof over our head. We try not to let ourselves be cheated or be injured. This is the kind of love that we need to have for our neighbors. Do we see that others are fed? Do we see that they're clothed? Do we see that they're housed as well as they can be? Are we concerned about issues of social justice? Loving others as ourselves means actively working to see that others' needs are met. Interestingly, people who focus on others rather than on themselves rarely suffer from low self-esteem. You know why? Because there's just something happens when you're a blessing to somebody. There is something happens on the inside, and all of a sudden you really feel good about what you just did. You don't have to brag about it. You just feel good about it. There's something spiritual that takes place when you do something, no strings attached, just to be a blessing to somebody. You walk away from that going, man, to see that person smile like that, that was awesome. Remember what I said earlier in this message about the war within us. That our flesh is at war with our spiritual desires. See, the carnal nature attempts to reject the Word of God and its renewing work because it doesn't understand or can't understand and it cannot adhere to it. It seeks to defend the fortress of self-will. Listen, I don't know about you, but in my life, self is pretty important. Self can be pretty important. I demonstrated it a lot when I was a younger person, when I was a kid. My dad would give us money to buy Christmas presents for other family members. And so I would wrap stuff up from around the house. I can't tell you how many times my dad received a Super 8 movie projector. It was amazing. My dad smoked roll your own cigarettes, and he always had to buy a lot of tobacco and cigarette papers around Christmas time because it always got wrapped up and put under the tree. I would buy my sisters some little something, cost a buck maybe at the store, and I'd get each one of them something, and the rest of the money, I spent it on me. I did, Mike, it's true. Somehow I believe that's true. Why? Because of self. You're afraid you're not going to get what you deserve or what you want, and so you just take things into your own hands and bless God, I'm going to make this happen one way or another. We do the same thing in the spiritual realm. We protect and defend the fortress of self-will. There is such a thing as the carnal ear. The carnal ear, it's the ear that is in tune with the sinful world. It's rebellious and stubborn against God's Word. And the evidence of this rebellion is spiritual blindness and deafness. In Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Eyes to see and ears to hear that don't see and don't hear." It's not that you're blind. It's not that you're deaf. It's just that you're tuned in to the wrong thing. The truth is that rebellious people are not only those outside the church who refuse to believe the Bible's message of salvation by grace. In fact, there are many within the church who are not submitted to God and who speak falsely in His name. It happens. It happens. God has set Himself against those who speak things that He has not said and teach His Word falsely. Fact is, the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, in the first 12 verses, the Lord speaks to the prophet Ezekiel, and He says, "Prophesy." When you prophesy, I'm not a prophet, but I think that I have spoken prophetically into people's lives from one time to another. And I've had prophetic people prophesy in my life. But when you prophesy, you're not prophesying your words. You're prophesying what God has to say. I pulled this verse out of the middle of it, verse 7. And it says, "You have not seen a futile vision, and you have not spoken false divination." Or have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, "The Lord says, but I have not spoken." You say, "The Lord says, but I have not spoken." See, we need to be wary of false teachers. We need to understand that their motive is often personal gain, and what they cause, that they cause great injustice among God's people. I've had people come and prophesy in my face and say, "Listen, this is what God says to you, and this is the direction you need to be going." And it does not line up with God's Word. It does not line up with anything that's going on in my spirit. And in that moment, you just say, "You know what? Thank you." And you reject. Because you cannot afford to allow that to take root in your life. It might upset them, but hey, that's the way it is. You don't have to be ugly about it. You can do it in love and just, you know, thank you. And then you just reject that prophecy. Because, listen, the prophecy is going to do two things. Number one, it's going to be in line with what God's Word says. And number two, it's going to confirm what God's already been doing inside of you. God has set Himself against those who speak things that He hasn't said. See, we need to be wary of false teachers. But here's the good news. We can guard against being deceived by their teaching by keeping our spirit tender before God and by praying for a heart and for ears that are open and obedient to God's voice. Whether it's singing a song, whether it's speaking to the men, whether it's doing ladies' ministry or whatever the case may be, we've got to come to the place where we pray for a heart and ears that are open and obedient to God's voice, regardless of what it might interrupt in our personal agenda. Is it still working? Because sometimes serving the Lord might mess up your schedule. Let me close. Let me try and close. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. "And then He said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will save it.'" With this word picture, Christ presented a clear and challenging description of the Christian life. You want to follow the Lord? You must crucify yourself, your flesh, your self-will. You must take up His cross daily and follow Him. Being His disciple, a disciple is a learner of God's Word. A disciple is a learner of God's Word. So being His disciple then means putting aside selfish desires, shouldering one's cross every day, and following Him. It's simple, yet so demanding. Isn't it? Am I the only one that thinks that way? Sounds simple. But yet it's so demanding, because if I really put aside all of my desires, if I really take my cross up and follow Him every day, wherever He leads me every day, it is going to mess with my schedule. It's going to mess with my desires. It's going to mess with the things that I hold dear to my heart and my life. But I promise you this, it'll be worth it. For the original 12, it meant literal suffering and death. For you and I today, it means understanding that we belong to Him and that we live to serve His purposes. Consider this. Consider this. Do you think your relationship with God, primarily in terms of what's in it for you, or in terms of what can I do for Him? Do you think of your relationship with God primarily in terms of what's in it for you, or in terms of what can I do or you do for Him? Are you willing to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and follow Him? This is the ugly part, and I close with this. Anything less is not discipleship. It's merely superficial lip service. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we want to win the battle of our flesh. We want to win this war that is within us. God, I believe with all my heart that every person in this place today desires to leave here knowing that they are in fact a servant of the Most High God. Knowing that heaven one day will be their home. That the power and the presence and the Spirit of God would so well up in our lives that, God, You would use us to do great and mighty exploits in Your name. Father, I just pray this morning, God, for peace over each and every one. But not the peace of complacency, Lord, but a peace that says to them, if you'll just follow me, everything's going to be fine. Everything will be fine. Someone might wonder this morning, where do you start? How do I even get started on this journey? Well, it starts at the cross. I've talked a lot about the cross this morning. See, it's at the cross. Salvation begins at the cross. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. Listen, don't get saved just for fire insurance. Don't get saved just to take out a fire insurance policy to keep you from going to hell. Christ gave His whole life for you on the cross. He held nothing back. And He's asking the same of each one of us. If you're in this place today and you say, preacher, I've never been saved before. I've never given my life to Jesus. But I want to. I want to serve the Lord with all my life, with all of my heart, with all of my soul. Someday I want to make heaven my home. If that's you today, God's knocking on your heart door. Jesus said, if any man will open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me, and they will have fellowship. That's the door of your heart. You have to open the door. God won't kick it down. Jesus won't kick it down. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never been saved, but I want to get saved today. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray with you. Anybody at all say, preacher, that's me. I want to get saved. Anybody at all? Maybe you're here today. You've got a need in your body or in your spirit. You need prayer. You need God to touch you. There might even be a sense of urgency. I promise you, God is a need-meeting God. He said, if you need prayer, if you're sick, call on the elders of the church. Call on the pastor. Have them anoint you with oil. Lay hands on you. Pray the prayer of faith. That's our God-given right. It's provision from Almighty God. If you're in this place today and you say, preacher, I need prayer. I need a touch in my body for one thing or the other. If you'll make your way to the front, I promise you, we will anoint you with oil and pray over you. Maybe you're just believing God for something. And you want God to meet your need, whatever that need is that you're believing Him for. God will meet you at the point of your need. I can't name everything that you might be needing prayer for, but I want you to know God knows. Charlie, can I just tell you something right in front of God and everybody? No. Well, I'm going to. No. I want you to know that you're a prize in the kingdom. You are a prize in the kingdom. You are of great value. The things that you do that ain't nobody else knows about, God knows about it. And I tell you right now, Charlie, God looks down from heaven and He says, that's my boy, right there. It ain't going unnoticed. Yeah. Father, I thank You for Charlie. I thank You for his heart to serve. God, for his heart to just reach out, Lord, and to be a blessing to anybody and everybody that he can. Father, I just pray, God, for whatever need Charlie would have today, God, that You would meet that need. Lord, I pray, God, that You would provide him with resources. Lord, I pray You'd provide him with finances. I pray, God, You'd anoint him with physical ability and strength, God, to do the things that You call him to do. And Lord, I know You've got him running all over this state, literally, to do Your will. And Father, I thank You for it. I pray, God, everywhere he goes, Lord, that You would use him, Lord, that his light would so shine, God, that it would completely dispel every bit of darkness. And Lord, that he would begin to see fruit following his life. And Father, I thank You for it in Jesus' name. I pray for health and for wholeness over his life. I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over his very life, God. And I thank You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What's going on, girl? Another eye. Well, Hank, can hang on just a minute. Come here. come here, I want you to tell her. I don't want her to hear it from me. I want you to tell her what God did for you just a number of weeks ago. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Well, while you're here, you just lay hands right on this girl right here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, for this eye. Lord, you spit in the dirt and made mud and put it on their eyes. God, I'm not going to do that this morning. But God, by faith, you can do the same work that you did through that mud in Susan's eye. Lord, and I pray right now, God, that you'd completely heal this eye in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that this eye will function correctly, see clearly, move the way it's supposed to. No pain, no blurriness, no anything, God, just perfect vision. And Father, I thank you for it. God, I thank you for it. I pray, God, that you'd make a way for everything that they're believing for right now, Lord. I know there are things in their life that they are believing for. And I pray, God, that they would come to pass. Lord, that it would be yes and amen. Lord, and I thank you for it. And I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory, glory, glory. Hi. You okay?
No.
I know. You haven't been for the last few weeks. I've noticed that. But I want you to know something else. There's a God in heaven that's going to put joy in your heart and work out the problems that I'm telling you, the enemy's going to bring stuff. He hates brand new newlyweds that love Jesus and worship. And he'll do everything he can to bring disunity, disruption, whatever the case may be. And I don't know what the case is, but God does. But I do know the God that can create, that can take care of it. Amen. Father, I thank you for John and for Nicole. God, I thank you for this young man's heart of worship. I thank you for the support of his wife, God. And I know that sometimes she goes through some stuff, Lord. And God, I pray, God, that you would help her to know and to understand, Lord, that there's a devil in hell that hates her guts, but there's a God in heaven that loves her beyond measure. The Lord, that you have a perfect plan for her life. God, that she's the head and not the tail. She's above and not beneath. Lord, that she is royalty. God, that she is royalty. She's a king's kid. She's a daughter of the Most High God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that in the quiet hours, Lord, that you'd visit her, that you'd speak to her, Lord. God, that you would begin to minister to her. Lord, that out of her heart would begin to flow the love of God. Lord, that literally out of her belly would flow rivers of living water. God, you said that could happen. So, Lord, I pray for that to happen in her life right now. God, I give you glory. I pray for John, God, as her husband, her helpmate, God, that you would, God, anoint him to be a support mechanism, to be a love mechanism in their life, Lord, a point of anchor. And I thank you for it, Lord. God, I pray for healing in John's hips right now. In the name of Jesus, hips, pelvis, line up. Line up. He's a young man supplying and the need of his family, God, and I pray that he'd have good health in doing it, Father. I thank you for it, Lord. Prosper them, in not only financially, but God, in their health. And spiritually, Lord, and in their marriage, let their marriage prosper. Let their marriage prosper. Let me just stop for a minute. Because too many times we think about prosperity in the financial sense. Because we hear it a lot. We want to prosper and all blah, blah, blah. But the word prosperity, when you break it down, the word prosperity simply means that you might have a pleasant journey. And so when I pray for prosperity of your marriage, that your marriage would be a pleasant journey. Amen? I just wanted to share that with you. All right? I love you, and I love you, and I'm proud of you. And I know God has a plan and a purpose, and the devil hates your guts. That ain't very encouraging, but it's all I got. Amen. Amen. Give me a hug, hon. I love you. Bless you. John, bless you, buddy. Who else we got here? Miss Tammy. Woo. Well, what are we praying for? I don't know. This isn't a guessing game. Well, Lord, you're the only one with the authority. God, the Word says that the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. You are our comforter and our counselor. And Father God, as her husband, I realize and recognize that I fall short in the comfort and the counseling area oftentimes. But God, I thank you that you're a greater counselor than I am. That God, you can speak into her heart. God, and that together we can make decisions, Lord, based on your word, based on your ministry that you have called us to, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I pray, God, for clarity in her mind right now in the name of Jesus. God, let your yes be yes and your no be yet no. And Lord, bring clarity in this situation in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Glory. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, our God is a healer. And by faith, listen, sometimes we don't have the faith to believe for our own healing. You know that? Sometimes we just don't have the faith to believe for our own healing. But that doesn't mean God doesn't hear our prayer and doesn't mean He doesn't answer the prayer of those that are praying. The illustration comes from the guys that carried the guy on the mat, climbed up on the roof. He couldn't do anything. It was their faith that got him to Jesus. Amen? Father, I pray for Sandy right now. God, I pray for her neck and for this shoulder area. God, for the pain that is coming from wherever. Lord, that medicine isn't working. Pain relievers aren't working. The doctors don't necessarily know what's going on. But God, you are the great physician. You are the great physician, and your word says, by your stripes we are healed. So, Father, I speak healing into this shoulder region, Lord, the collarbone area, the shoulder blade area, down into her arm. Father, I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, healing, health, and wholeness would be hers in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare it to be done. According to your word, according to what you have given us the authority to do, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Be healed. Be healed. You just want some energy? Have you heard of Red Bull? It don't work, all right? It don't work. It don't work. It don't work. But I can tell you this, the Holy Spirit is our energizer. The Holy Spirit is what brings heaven's energy into us. Amen? Father, I pray, God, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just well up within our sister, God, that divine energy from the kingdom, Lord, the energy like she took a drink out of the river of the water of life, Father God, Lord, that she would be endued with power from on high, God, that you would set her feet to dancing, God, that there wouldn't be anything that could hold her back or hold her down. And Father, I thank you for it. I pray, God, for the strength of renewed like the eagles, Lord. God, that she would run and not be weary, that she would walk and not faint. God, Isaiah 40:31, that she would mount up with wings as eagles, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Be endued with Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. Complete it, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Woo! Have a little Holy Ghost runaway here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ha! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You are worthy of all glory and all praise. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, have another drink. Hallelujah. You are a good God. You're a good, good God. Bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of all glory and all honor, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for setting her feet to dancing. We bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come here. What do you need, buddy?
I just need a plug for water.
Well, let me. Okay. Well, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Amen? And I don't know how anybody can be in the presence of God and not get healed. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, doesn't matter. Father, I thank you for Jim right now, Father God. And I pray, God, that you would, that he would establish a time of just being with you, reading your word, listening to your word, listening to music, Lord, praying, seeking your faith, just having a cup of coffee in the morning with God. Lord, I pray, God, that his heart would be drawn to you, Lord, that you would be drawn to him, Lord. God, that the relationship would be a close relationship. Lord, I pray for health and for wholeness in his life. And I pray, God, that he would feel good. God, that he would be in health and have energy. Lord, that out of this belly would flow rivers of living water. God, in Jesus' name, give him strength. Give him power from on high, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jill, don't run on. Thank you, Jesus. She does. And so do you. Listen, you guys have been coming here for a while now. And we love you. And God loves you. And you've heard me say this over and over this morning. There's a devil in hell that hates you. It's not just those kids that the devil's after. It's after you guys. He's after you guys because you're the anchor of the family. And he wants to destroy, he wants to break up the ground that the anchor's stuck in. So as if the anchor comes out, the ship just sails off. And I want to just speak into and over your lives that there ain't enough devils in hell to destroy what God has put together here. He'll try. He is trying. But he cannot win if we don't let him. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. God has a purpose and a plan for you in this house, in this community. And the enemy knows that if he can keep there to be turmoil in your life, in your home, in your work, then we'll never be able to completely focus on what it is that God has for us. Father, I just speak into these precious people's lives, God. Lord, you have brought them to us, Lord, and we love you for it, and we love them for being here. And God, we recognize and we know that you have a purpose and a plan for not only this couple, but for their kids. And for their, it goes back to her dad and different ones, God, that Lord, you're using in ministry, Father, that maybe never thought they would ever be used in the way that they're being used. But God, we're all just a piece of the foundation of your church. And Father, I pray that you would stop the enemy, back him off from the onslaughts and from the attacks. God, I pray a hedge of protection around Jill and around Richard and over their lives, God, over everything that they touch, everything that they do. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus literally over their minds, their souls, their spirits, over their bodies, over their very lives, Father, in your name. God, I pray that they would walk with their heads held high, knowing, hey, I might have bumbled, I might have stumbled, but I'm still on the books. My name's still written down. I'm still going to heaven. I'm still in the fight. And Father, I thank you for it. I pray, God, for great days ahead. Days of love and days of joy and days of happiness, days of peace and days of contentment, Lord. Days of celebrating victory for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Glory. Well, listen. That's a wrap. Amen? I want you to come back tonight. I want to talk about defeating the enemies of spiritual advancement in your life. I want to talk about that. I want to hopefully give you some tools that would help you in the spiritual realm. Amen? God bless you. Father, I thank you for this body, this congregation, Lord, that loves one another and that loves you, God, with an undying love. Father, I pray that every prayer that has been prayed at this altar today, God, you are doing your work right now in every situation. Lord, we thank you right now in advance for everything that you've done, for everything that you're doing. God, for your glory and for your honor. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today by way of the internet. God bless you. Have a good rest of your day. We'll see you tonight.